You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSE has closed its doors for another day, and on this Thanksgiving Day, actually, so it's been pretty quiet. But anyway, it's time for the 5 o'clock shadow, and with me this evening is David Shapiro from Sasser & Securities in Johannesburg, and he's accompanied, as always on a Thursday, by Nick Kunze from Sanlam Private Wealth. Gentlemen, yeah, the influence of the United States is important, but there were some things going on. What was the general mood, Nick Kunze?
Boring, and more boring. I mean, we started off fairly sort of sanguine, going nowhere. Asian markets were mixed this morning, and as the day progressed, it was pretty much the same. I mean, we battled to stay in the green at all, and we kind of drifted low with the session. Saying that U.S. futures sort of bounced back off their lows, but really, Lindsay, I don't think you can really do too much into today with Thanksgiving and the volumes pretty much non-existent. I mean, 17 billion value traded, just so you guys know. That is, not a great session. But really soggy nowhere sort of day.
Okay, let's talk about the old days, David Shapiro. Stefanuti Stocks Holdings Limited came out with their results today. I mean, the share price at one stage was down. I mean, obviously, it's a penny stock now. But it looks to me as though it's going to close around about 12 cents per share. And
could have doubled your money today.
I know. It's crazy. You know, why I say it's crazy is that this was Stocks and Stocks. I mean, these were big corporations.
Mm. These are blues of the blue chips.
Though. Yeah. And to see where it's trading now and assess the market value of it, it's just mad. I one of the cranes crossed more than the market cap of the...
at its low this morning, it was 11 billion rand.
We're not even going to talk about
this. I've got a couple of PA guys that can buy with their sort of pocket money. Now, obviously,
what did you say the market cap was? 11 million or 11
it was
billion?
11 million.
Yeah.
Oh,
22 and a half now.
It's 22 and a half now. I mean, it's a couple of CEOs got more than that as a salary last year on the JSE.
Every month.
Could have bought themselves a small construction company.
It's insane to see where this has come from and what's happened to the whole construction sector.
It's actually quite sad, really. Yeah. It's very sad. And they've got everything up against them. They're just in... I mean, that's a tough job. You talk about having to run Eskom being a tough job. I mean, running a construction company in South Africa must be a close second. I mean, it's really tough.
Okay, well, let's move on from construction. Now, obviously, one day it will have its day in the sun, but not at the moment. Stefanuti Stocks, and I can remember, David Shapiro, you're very well aware of the TV program I used to work for, the TV station I used to work for. I did media training for them before 2010 and before they listed. And as Nick said, it was, flavor of the month. People absolutely adored it.
Well, they built the Michelangelo Towers. They built number of buildings at the moment, that dominates.
No,
that
I mean, their legacy is
Bart Dorfman.
Bart Dorfman. Yeah, that they went on to become a legacy group, wasn't it? I think.
Yeah. You can't buy. I don't think you can buy one of those apartments for 22 million.
No, but I mean, half the skyline of Sandton is probably a legacy to some part of Steph Stocks back in the day.
Yeah. Okay, let's have a look at Brait now, because Brait came out with a restructuring plan and a rights issue and all sorts of other things yesterday. I've spoken to Nick about this, David, but what do you think? I mean, Brait is throwing the kitchen sink at its current situation.
Well, that's the end of Brait. It's the end of Brait as we know it. And I don't think a minute too soon. Something that the MBA students should actually study, how to start with a big fortune and end up with a small fortune. And, I mean, that's really the story of Brait. And what they're going back to now is going to throw money in it. This is not following his rights. Ethos is going to come in, and they're going to try to build up what Brait once was, run by Jonathan Ball, which was a private equity business. But Lindsay, I got to also ask, well, what are they going to find? What kind of companies are they going to find that are going to take them back to the good old days? I'm not that enthusiastic about anything at the moment, whether they are able to find companies that they'll be able to put in there.
There's just a lot of debt. But I mean, David, you touched on this when you started speaking. That I mean, there won't. I doubt there's going to be a break in 5 years' time. They will ultimately Ethos will probably spin off Premier Foods. Yeah. When the market conditions improve, they'll spin off maybe Virgin, which is still very cash generative, and a few others. But you're right, Brait, as we know it, I think we're watching the sort of unwinding as we speak.
You know, I have to. I first of all, I think maybe before your time, Nick, we had what's it? The leisure group. What was it? Health and Racket.
Mm. Yes, you know, Santon Health and Racket. I used to go to. Yeah. I went there. I went there twice.
I always used to watch that and understand how could you ever be listed. And even when I look at Virgin Active, and you know, we have one next door, they're constantly replacing the equipment. Mm. And
it's
and
a little bit like a legitimate Ponzi scheme because you have to rely on new memberships every single year.
That's where I was going. Yeah.
And it is. I mean, they're literally – I don't know how these guys still stay in business. They seem to turn over every year. There's another one popping up and another one closing and another set of machines.
You know what happens, Nick? At the end of the year, everybody says, yes, this year I'm going to get fit. So they all go and sign up for gym memberships and never, ever use them.
This person doesn't. No.
Well, I can tell you something, gentlemen.
Right. I mean, they rely on the January sort of intakes as funding the next sort of 11 months. Generally, I really do think so.
I'm one of those people. But, I have to tell you the story now. When I lived in London before I came to South Africa, it was, I think the year was 1987, and I signed up for a gym. I was living in Notting Hill before it became fashionable. I was living in Notting Hill, and the reason I signed up for the gym, which was just across the road, was because it was just across the road. I could go across the road in my tatty clothes, put on my tatty gym gear and do some stuff. And I attended it, maybe even gone a dozen times. It was very fashionable and very expensive at the time, but I went there. But I have signed up, I think, for around about 8 or 9 gyms in my time. And the thing is, you go there and you say, right, I've signed up, I've got my gym clothes, I bought the stuff and everything, and I'm feeling pretty good. I've got my personal consultant. He's going to tell me, he's going to show me around the gym, etc. And then I never go again. It's almost as though when you go there and you sign up, you've done your first workout and you're feeling good about yourself. But I don't know how many people actually follow through with the next year and the year after. I think a lot of people, there must be about a 30 or 40% dropout rate. And that doesn't affect the company.
But out of this whole sort of stable of Brait, I do think, and we've seen the sort of numbers being crunched, that the Virgin arm and possibly Premier at some point. Mm. They are the sort of ones you could sort of understand, and they are cash generative. The rest, I'm not sure.
I'd like to see Premier dig into that, because if you looked at Tiger's results and if you've looked at some of the food cover, they're also difficult. Mm. So I think overall there's a lot of pressure on their margins.
Well, Ethos, you've literally got to say these guys are going to have to get stuck in for the next 5 years, and maybe whatever time value of money is over 5 years, you maybe get your money back, but that's a big if.
Okay, gentlemen, let's have a look at two other sets of results out today. Carp Agri came out, interesting company, PSG obviously, a major influence there, and also Quantum Foods. Who wants to start, either Carp Agri or Quantum Foods or both? There's a bit of laughter in the background there, so it's not David Shapiro.
I know nothing about Carp Agri and anything that grows, those kind of companies, the commodity companies that grow things, I just avoid, simply that it's around the world, it's very easy to grow things. So I'm not one of those. You know, I love the farming community. I love their loyalty to the land or their love of the land. I love all the equipment they make and all the food that they produce. But I've never thought of it as being a place to make big money.
These guys actually don't actually grow the stuff. They supply the sort of picks and shovels into the mine workers. Okay. So these guys supply the irrigation systems and a certain portion of I think the tractors and the sort of the hardware to the agricultural market. But I mean, I'm sure they're not immune to what's happening in that sector, the drought, etc. You know,
if you look at Omnia's results, you'll pick up exactly what they, you know, exactly how well the or how badly the community is.
Is there any good news out there today that we can talk about?
We'll come to that in a moment, but just tell me about Quantum Foods.
I looked at Quantum Food as well.
When
I see minus 48, I run away. I say, not worth reading further. You know? And again, a company that we're talking about a market cap of a couple of hundred million. Mm. So I don't know how many eggs they sell or how many chickens they sell.
Don't you think that the JSE should sit down and say to itself, well, you know, let's get rid of the companies that don't trade and let's get rid of the companies that have a certain market cap. Have a separate exchange for that, or is that too elaborate? But it seems
I think the JSE is fighting to keep guys from delisting. Mm. I mean, really, I think they'd be happy to get whatever they can at the moment, even just to pay the listing fee.
I actually spoke to Nick Aldott yesterday, and I've been speaking to Julieta about it. And it's a, I think it's a global issue, although it's more pronounced here. The problem is that the demand for unit trusts, for ETFs, is so great that it concentrates where the demand is. So, you know, where you look at a unit trust, if you're going to buy, or an ETF, you're going to buy the Satrix 40, whatever, whichever one you're buying, it always has a high concentration of high cap, you know, very highly capitalized companies, which means that there's very little room for those to buy the quantum foods or the stocks and the other companies we listed. So they get ignored. And that's why they trade at significant discounts to the underlying value. And it's very hard for them to promote themselves. Who they're promoting themselves to private clients who don't really exist anymore. So they're on a battle. And it's a steep battle to keep the interest alive. You've got the Keith McLachlans and that and that, or Anthony Clarks. And I admire the enthusiasm, you know, for businesses that are really nothing, very, very small. But they keep it up. But the following is difficult, you know.
Very difficult. I mean, when I was in the UK, there used to be the penny share subscription service that the guys used to subscribe to. And they used to have these wonderful stories of how you'd buy it at 2 cents and sell it at 50 pence. Mm-hmm. And until I think they found out that the guys were running these services were just like the biggest front-running pump-and-dump schemes possible.
Pump-and-dump.
Yeah. They're loading up. And this was before email. So they were like loading up on these shares. They'd send the letter out. All the sort of all the penny share fanatics would dive in and push the price of the dump. But yeah, you're right. I mean, to run these smaller space penny share market, I mean, it needs a certain passion, because it certainly falls under our radar completely at Sunlum, for example. Very few. We have a couple of fanatics as clients, but the majority rather stick with the top 40.
Okay, let's look at the market data now before we get into other matters. Dollar rand is 14.75, nice and steady, the rand, on this very quiet day. British pound against the rand, 19.03. And the euro rand is 16.23, with the euro dollar just edging its way higher, the dollar edging its way lower, the euro 110.05 now, that exchange rate. And the United States today is obviously closed, but the futures are just down about 0.25%. They're still trading, obviously. Commodities, the gold price is barely changed at 14.55. The platinum price is down 4.5 to 8.90. Nick Kunzer, palladium, please.
Palladium is exactly unchanged at 18.31. not even a penny either way.
Okay, and Brent crude oil is $63.73. David, Black Friday tomorrow. I've read a statistic that says 90% of the deals that are offered on Black Friday are purely psychological. People think it's Black Friday, so they think they're getting a deal, but in fact they're getting the same deal that they could have any other day of the year. There's a small percentage.
Right. Yeah. Probably right, but I think it becomes a shopping day, and it becomes in itself an attraction to go out and look for something to buy and to actually, to get out. I was just looking on TV now. It's the Macy's parade down Fifth Avenue. So I think people like to get out. It's an excuse to go out.
Do you see how many people watch
that,
David? Do you see what the statistic was?
I know.
It's massive. 5 million.
I know. It's massive.
5 million people. I mean, the whole population of Joburg's 3. Yeah.
You know, and then they go home. My daughter's gone up to Boston. She's driving up to Boston where they're going there for the whole family getting together to –
Lindsay and I were talking 52 million turkeys eaten last Thanksgiving day. Yeah. That's a lot of bird.
I know. You don't want to be a turkey. And it's Christmas coming up as well. And a few months later, it's Christmas. Hey? But it's a big story there. So I whether you're getting a bargain or not. And to be quite honest, I think I wonder how many bargains there are. I've been getting emails from all the US stores where, you know, when you go in and buy a pair of socks and then they say, give me your email, and the next thing you're dumped with all these bargains. And as you rightly point out, there are bargains every day. Every day it's minus 30, minus 20, minus 25. So okay. I'm looking around here for some socks and pajamas, you know.
David Shapiro in pajamas and socks.
what a scary prospect.
Yeah. No,
I want running socks. I cannot find a good old running socks. You can only get these high tech ones, you know, and I don't like them. I like the good old You know the ones that you used to wear when you played tennis? Those
no.
That,
hey, no, we don't. Not those no, we don't know what you're talking about.
Go to your knee. No, I don't want the ones that go to your knee. That they were just Arthur Ashe type socks, you know.
Oh, goodness me. Moving Arthur swiftly Ashe. On.
Okay, top five major movers on the JSC today to the upside, according
go
to Shane.
Go look at his legs, you'll see what I'm talking about.
I don't look at Arthur's legs.
I don't look at Arthur Ashe's legs. He won Wimbledon, didn't he? Mm-hmm. Wasn't he the first black man to win Wimbledon?
Yeah, that's why the good stadium's player. Named after him, yeah.
Anyway, while David Shapiro thinks about Wimbledon tennis players in their long socks, we're going to talk about the top five major movers to the upside on the JSE. Goldfields up 2.25%. Hammerson up nearly 2%. Sirius, I don't worry about. Sibanye up 1.6%. And Pick and Pay, a 1.4% winner. Nick Kunzer, anything there that excites you?
No, I saw, we hardly mention these anymore. So it's also, it used to be a penny share until today. That's Stanov back over a buck, 103. It was at sort of in the 80s. And it's
really? So that's a big move.
Today. 25% up, yeah.
What's that about?
They managed to sell off some stuff in Unitrans deal going through yesterday. And they seem to be, for all the fact this share, I don't know if it's got any worth at all. They do seem to be trying to do something. We don't really follow it anymore. But it was bounced back 25% today. Seems to be they're trying. They are trying to get it right.
It is going to go to zero, though, isn't it? At some stage.
I don't know. It's,
when probably, the lawsuits start, yeah.
Probably.
When all the lawsuits start in earnest, I think it's going to zero.
You really think so, David? Yeah. So what do you do? Do you sell it now?
Yeah.
Can you borrow a script in order to get
what
this
do you
thing?
I don't know. What's a market cap? It's only a few million rand. I don't know.
Well, for Christmas, you could get yourself buy yourself Stefanucci's and buy yourself Stano. Get a furniture business and a construction company in one.
Okay, let's look at the downside today on the JSC. We've got the following. Aspen down 3.9%. Woolies down 3.4%. Bidcorp down 3.4%, Renette down 2.9%, and Clicks down 2.8%. Some big, big companies on the downside today. Anything behind that, David Shapiro?
I just see the market giving up a lot of gains, and I'm trying to read into this. I've been negative on the JSE for a long time simply because eventually the underlying economy or lack of underlying economy starts to tell. And it's been telling more and more on corporate results all the time. As Nick said, let's find some good news. But most of the company results that we're getting out are very, very poor. And you can understand it's simply a function of the poor state of the economy. Every time you read a set of results, it talks about low consumption, the consumer under pressure, and also an economy in a low growth environment.
Yeah. Lindsay and I have been saying you could cut and paste the last couple of weeks with the retailers. Every line item somewhere is a mention of tough trading conditions, tough trading environment. South African environment remains, tough looking forward, and a lot of them have been sort of kudos. They've managed to squeeze out as much as they can, but I don't think there's much margin left. There's only so much cost cutting these guys can do. They're at the point now they need the economy to turn around. There's no more fat left to squeeze out.
That's it. They've done as much as they can on the efficiency side. What's interesting is looking at Aspen as well. It had a strong run, I think almost going up to 120. Remember, it was 60 rand. And it almost doubled, and it's giving up its gain. We're seeing Discovery also give up its gains. We're also seeing Sasol now 270. And Sasol, most of the analysts, I think, on the strength of what the company will earn in a couple of years when the plants finally get going, also not fulfilling where analysts expect it to be. So it's a 270, you're heading back towards that 260 kind of level, which is the strong support line.
I wonder if it's also, I just speak from sort of putting the Sunlum hat on. We sort of had some levels for a couple of shares we're buying. We're picking up some Aspen, lower down a few others. And ShopRite, we were told to sort of put in our portfolios under sort of 130, which we did a couple of weeks ago. Now it's back down again, and sort of someone made a comment, well, are you guys buying? We're like, well, no, we bought already. We're not buying anymore. So I wonder if a lot of asset managers, ourselves, I'm talking about ourselves as well, we're in already. We're not buying. We're full up now. So there's no buyers, and they're just drifting lower. And
it's an interesting point. It's a very interesting point that And the problem is that if you find sellers coming in here, as you mentioned, that there's no one there to support.
Yeah, well, we fill up. We're not buying anymore. No, it's very interesting. Yeah.
Okay. Nick Kunze from Sunderland Private Wealth, please give us the closing JSE indices and the volume of the day, please.
Okay, volume of the day, 16.9 billion value traded. So not a great session for this Thanksgiving. All share also finishing on the lows of the day, down 474 points or 0.84% at 55,702. And the top 40 was 0.88% down. Also closed on the lows in the auction, down 440 points, 49,470, now under 50,000. Financials also down 1%, and the financial 15, the worst hit, down 1.22%. Basic materials were the better, but still down 0.11. In fact, if I look at our leaderboard, there wasn't one single sector that was in the green.
Okay, my quote of the day is related to Thanksgiving in the United States of America, which incidentally, I think it was Roosevelt. Anyway, it was one of the presidents brought it forward to the second, or rather the third Thursday in November in order to boost, I don't know, morale or something. And there was some reason for it, but then there was such an uproar that it's gone back to obviously the fourth Thursday of November. So it's Thanksgiving today in the United States of America. And to all my millions of American listeners, happy Thanksgiving. And my Thanksgiving quote of the day is very much linked to companies like Steinhoff, for example. Thanksgiving dinners take 18 hours to prepare and 12 minutes to eat, just like Steinhoff took 18 hours, metaphorically speaking, to build up and 12 minutes to destroy.
The cleanup takes 12 hours as well.
A lot longer than it took to create. Gentlemen, thanks so much for your time. Have a lovely Thanksgiving evening. David Shapiro is from Sassman Securities, deputy chairman of that august institution. And Nick Kunze is from Sandland Private Wealth, portfolio manager at that one as well. And that was the 5 o'clock shadow. That podcast was proudly brought to you in association with sharenet.co.za. Visit strictlybusinesspodcast.com and subscribe to receive exclusive content straight to your inbox. strictlybusinesspodcast.com, made possible by Prudential Investment Managers.